Here we go. And it is NRL Live episode 48. The State of Origin has come and gone, at least game one. We're going to talk about all that, of course, plus do the Supercoach wrap up of last week. Look forward to this week, and Tigers MS has got a great world of sport for us. Also, speaking of Tigers MS, he's with us, of course. How are you, mate?
Very good. Yourself?
Ah, doing well, doing well. And Pete, what about yourself?
Very good. Finally, yourself. I've got a win.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that very soon. Of course, New South Wales 14 getting over Queensland for own 6 in Game 1 of State of Origin there at Homebush in Sydney. And we also got to look back to last week's games, of course. And the Bulldogs defeated the Dragons 16-14 on the Friday night footy, while Saturday the Rabbitohs 25 too good for the Knights 18. Titans 31 smashing the Cowboys 12. Bit of intrigue there as to Neil Henry's position, whether he may remain at the North Queensland or not, after yet another loss, while the Warriors 56 smashing the Broncos 18 in Brisbane too. So they really missed their origin stars there, Brisbane, while the Warriors coming good. Looking at last week's games, Kevin Locke, well, he was back at the fullback position for New Zealand. He top scored 148, while we predicted last week William Zillman, well, he's going very strong. Second overall last week, he polled 142, so just behind Locke. And then Mark Minicello, actually our sleeper of the round, we predicted him a few weeks back. He put up 96, fourth best. Other guys, Isaac Luke, James Graham, remain amongst the top 20, so you know, keep listening to what we say on the show. We'll point you in the right direction. What we learned, George Burgess, well, he's about buyer of the year. Just gets stronger and stronger. Even when the bigger names are out, he steps up. Matt Pryor could be a great pickup for the Dragons. He had a big game on the weekend. While John Sutton just could be an end-of-year special if you're looking for a guy that might put you over the edge. Not picked for Origin, but playing very well indeed. This week in league, guys, the origin, it all comes down to that. I'll do my ratings very soon. But, Pete, how did you make the game?
It was started off with the usual high intensity of the, you'd expect from State of Origin, but I don't think I've seen a Queensland team in a long time have so many basic handling errors and look quite lethargic, I thought, for the majority of the game. And then in the second half, New South Wales seemed to catch the disease. I thought it was a lot of drop ball. Not score was close, high intensity, but yeah, disappointing standard. I would expect it better from both teams. But yeah, big crowd and yeah, good atmosphere, I believe.
Yeah, and Tigers MS, the I guess especially the ball control was a bit down, but you couldn't fault the intensity.
No, not at all. There was, yeah, the skill level was not quite origin level, but yeah, the players out there, they wanted it. They wanted to be out there. They wanted to win the game, and it showed. It was a fairly willing contest, and at times, you know, possibly going over the top.
Well, we'll get a 3-2-1 from you guys in a moment, and also any changes you expect for game two. But now let's read through those ratings, of course, that we'd like to do every year. And starting with the winning team, the New South Wales team, Jared Hayne, 8.5. He was everywhere at the back, defusing kicks, stopping tries. That one of Cam Smith, and that called a double movement and even scored the first try. Brett Morris got a 7. The ball didn't go his way much in attack, but he was very strong defensively and also in cleaning up Queensland's attacking kicks. Michael Jennings, 8. Once again, he completely shut down, or almost completely shut down, Justin Hodges, and he scored a great try to boot. Josh Morris, 7.5. His try saver against Darius Boyd won't be remembered as much as other parts of the game. See the Gallon 1-2 punch, for example, but it was a critical moment in the win. Blake Ferguson, 6.5. He did some good things and some bad things, but didn't look out of place at the next level. James Maloney, 8.5, an outstanding debut. He led the team around the park at a fine kicking game, made a great solo break, will force the Maroons defence to keep on their toes in games 2 and 3. Mitch Pearce, 6.5, relatively quiet, but didn't make any mistakes and tackled his heart out as always. Greg Bird, 8, continues to step up come origin time. Ryan Hoffman, 7, made a few mistakes, but his ability to bust a line and offload gives New South Wales another dimension in attack, particularly on the edges. Luke Lewis, 9. He made a couple of handling errors that stopped him from getting a perfect 10. but he was absolutely unstoppable all night and did pick up the Man of the Match award. James Tamau, 6. It was a pretty quiet night for the Cowboy, but he never stopped trying. Robbie Farah, 7.5. A couple of key mistakes, but generally was in control around the ruck. And his kicking game from dummy half was very difficult to negate. Paul Gallen got an 8, his usual origin self, despite the fact he hadn't played in a month. He returned to the field in the final 10 minutes. Until that time, I thought Queensland could still mount the comeback, but he settled the ship. Andrew Fifita, 6.5, did everything asked of him in his debut from the bench. Trent Merrin, 7, continues to go from strength to strength. It's quite baffling. He was omitted from Game 3 last year, quite frankly. Anthony Watmo, 6.5. He suffered some handling errors, but was in an unfamiliar role playing as the fourth prop and did his job well, I thought, all things considered. And finally, Josh Reynolds. Well, he wasn't required, but he seemed to enjoy the atmosphere and get a sledge in or two, nonetheless. And Tigers MS, I guess, which were your top players from that New South Wales team?
Yeah, look, I thought Luke Lewis was pretty much the best player on the ground. He, especially second half when New South Wales were under the pump, he was quite good. Greg Bird, of course, I don't know what it is, but Origin he just seems to live for, regardless of his form at club level. And I thought, and given what we know today, Robbie Farah. Made a lot of tackles. He put in a few good kicks. He did have a couple of mistakes, but he ended up playing a game in a, you know, three quarters of the game with a busted cheek and nose.
Pete, do you envisage, I guess, barring injuries, any changes to that New South Wales team for Game 2?
I wouldn't imagine so, particularly as was mentioned the other day that it looks like Brett Stewart may be out for a little bit longer, so I can't see him returning to the side. They may perhaps put maybe Glenn Stewart into the forwards or on the bench there somewhere if they can squeeze him in, but no, apart from that, I was quite impressed and pretty much agree with what Tigers RMS just said there about the New South Wales team. Luke Lewis particularly was outstanding, I thought. Jared Hayne really deserves some raps too. He's under a lot of pressure coming into that one, and I thought he played exceptionally well.
Well, let's now take a look at the Queensland ratings. Billy Slater, 6 points, was quite at the back as the Maroons' game plan of switching him with Greg Inglis just seemed to negate both players' unique abilities. Darius Boyd, 5, looked like he wasn't 100%, which he no doubt wasn't. Greg Inglis, 5.5, he was completely rubbed out of the game by an excellent New South Wales game plan and a poor Maroon one. His last pass for Queensland's only try was still a highlight, however. Justin Hodges, 6.5. Despite Jennings having his number, he still tried hard to get involved and created a spark, including setting up that first try with a long run. Brent Tate, 4. He was heavily targeted and, quite frankly, looked his age. This may be his last origin. Jonathan Thurston, 5. Tried hard but was clearly not at full strength, and the hampering of his kicking play and general play affected the whole team. Cooper Cronk, 6. He gave 100% as usual but was below his best, as the Maroon pack was unable to get a roll on. Ashley Harrison, 4.5, largely silenced by that brutal New South Wales pack. Sam Tidey, 4, he gave his all but made a lot of bad errors, I thought. Nate Miles, 7, he may have been outgunned by Paul Gallen in the fight, but he was still one of Queensland's best. David Shillington, 7, another one of those made-for-origin players. He seems to play well even when he doesn't stand out. Cam Smith, 6, he was another key player, I thought, relatively silenced by the Blues. His double movement exposed the desperation of the situation. Matt Scott, 5.5, one of the only big men I thought he was outpointed by a swarming Blues defence. And the bench, Matt Gillett, 5.5, he tried hard, didn't quite have the impact he does at club level. Ben Teo, 6, I thought he played a larger role than perhaps first anticipated, certainly didn't let anyone down. Corey Parker, 7.5, arguably Queensland's best. They looked stronger when he was out there. Dad's army may be breaking up, but the grandfather should still be there come game 2. And Chris McQueen, 7, he may be inexperienced, but he gave his all and showed that youth could be a good option for the rest of the series as the Maroons play the unfamiliar role of catch-up. How did you see the Queensland performances there, Pete?
Yeah, Queensland for mine were, as I've said early on, were quite lethargic, I thought. They seemed really slow. And also, I think they've got to learn from that match in that doesn't matter whether you're Jonathan Thurston, one of the best players in the world, you play a game like that half fit, you're going to be exposed. And the kicking game, 90% of it fell into Cooper Cronk. He's a good, competent kicker, but without Thurston's kicking game. Queensland seemed to me to be nowhere last night.
There was a stage there, Pete, where Cooper Cronk, because obviously with Thurston's injury, he couldn't do a lot of kicking in general play, didn't goal kick, and the ball went to Cooper Cronk on the fourth tackle, and he must have thrown it back 15 metres. They were in an attacking position. He was so desperate not to get caught with the ball leading up to the last tackle, and it was just astonishing to me.
Absolutely, no. They looked like a bit of a rabble, I have to say. The forwards were completely outplayed. As I said, they looked slow. Matt Scott, etc., just didn't have the impact I would have expected, and they didn't. When they got down into the New South Wales area, I would have expected some dynamite moves with Slater coming into the back line and Inglis, going looking for the ball, but there was nothing. They looked like they just were playing their first game together last night, Queensland, and I think the Queensland selectors have got to bite the bullet and maybe bring in someone off the bench with a bit more impact too, like a perhaps a Dave Taylor type player. You've got to look for a little bit of cover maybe for Thurston for the next one, maybe Scotty Prince, or have a bit of a look around at some of the other younger guys getting around in the NRL at the moment.
Well, they had Dally Cherry Evans sitting there and Tigers MS. What changes do you envisage Queensland making for game two?
Look, to be honest, I don't see them making many. If any, perhaps on the bench, Matt Gillette, maybe Josh Papali comes in for him. But I think they'll give every single one of them another shot, as they probably should, given the service they've given to Queensland. I expect that whatever they do next for game two, Greg Inglis will be a focal point of it. Whether he's playing fullback or playing fullback in attack, or it's even suggested that he maybe will play wing, because once he plays wing, he can go into a roving role.
Yes.
And start popping up in places that, New South Wales didn't want him. And I think that's Queensland's key. Inglis seemed to be the only guy who was dangerous last night in terms of busting the line. You saw New South Wales hit the panic button whenever he got the ball in that kind of situation. And luckily for New South Wales, it wasn't very often, but when he did, it was about, I think, maybe five times, and one out of five he created a try out of that. So, I don't see a lot happening there, but, they have to do something game plan-wise at the very least.
Well, Brent Tate, I think he could be, his number could be up. So Greg Inglis moving to the wing, and I thought McQueen was very good off the bench. I thought he could hold his own in the centres there if they decided to go that way, and that would open up a chance for a Josh Papali or a Josh McGuire, or maybe even both coming off the bench. I think Ben Hannon, obviously, if he's back fully fit as well, would be a must start. They needed to. They lost the bit of beef up front. They looked like they weren't going to match the Blues for that intensity. So I think Papali, Hannon, and McGuire, I think, might do that for them. We've got to keep moving on. This is, of course, NRL Live Supercoach. We're going to talk a lot of Supercoach coming right up, round 13, just around the corner, of course, and those subs, all important subs you've got to make around this Origin time. It is this time of year where you can really make or break your competition. You can come from the clouds to make a big lead if you make those right changes. While you could be in front right now, but be very quickly back on your heels with a couple of bye weeks coming at the wrong time. Any questions you have, you can follow us on Twitter at Paulie G Sports. We're at TigersMS78. Ask us any questions you like. We'll talk about it. Who should be captain for the week? Which player over which? Which guys you should be buying, holding, or selling? We're going to go through quite a few now. And, of course, you can always download each and every one of our podcasts at the website www.pauliegsports.com or subscribe on iTunes. Just look up NRL Live or NRL Supercoach and you'll find us. And the Friday night game, first of all, is the one we're going to look at. And, of course, it is the Parramatta Eels back at home, the much-maligned Parramatta Eels. They're taking on the Sydney Roosters, and the Eels, well, they're last in scoring, third last in giving up Supercoach points. Well, the Roosters are best at stopping Supercoach points and third in scoring. So, by that logic, it should be a whitewash. Non-Origin players Mitch Orbison, Sonny Bill Williams, Boyd Cordner, Jake Friend and Roger Tavasicek are all must-plays. If you kept James Maloney, Michael Jennings and or Mitchell Pearce, then just wait and see if they'll be playing. Remember that they may be rested early if the Roosters get a big lead. All Eels players should be sold until further notice. The only one worth keeping will be missing in rounds 15, 16 and 18, of course, Jared Hayne. Pete, have the Eels got any chance at home?
No, in a word. Their form at home has been a lot better than away this year. And they gave away up that home game recently up in Mudgee. Sorry, guys. Mudgee, where they got annihilated by the Gold Coast. And I don't think that team morale is going to be very high with the announcement coming the other day that Parramatta are looking to offload 12 of their players out of their squad at the end of this year. And Jared Hayne coming out of Origin, not very happy about that announcement. It's the Roosters walk over. You can see them winning by 30 without getting into second gear.
Tigers a mess. The Roosters did miss Jared Rea-Hargreaves when they lost the Storm 2 weeks ago, but I guess the Storm compared to the Eels is two very different matchups.
Yeah, no, they're not going to miss him in this game. Look, I tell you what, Parramatta, that whole big you're not wanted next year kind of thing could work one or two ways. It could, A, just totally demoralise the whole team and they'll end up getting hammered for the rest of the year. Or B, those guys who are on the outer, essentially they're playing for other clubs for a contract. So it could well be a bit of a shot for Parramatta, but I sincerely doubt it. Look, yeah, basically, if you can, pack your team with Roosters players. And if you've got any Parramatta players, get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to one look at the Parramatta lineup, and it's a bunch of no names and cast offs, isn't it? With the exception, of course, of Jared Hayne. So it's going to be a long year for the Eels supporters, I think, for the rest of the year. A very long year indeed. I'm also taking the Roosters. Saturday afternoon footy or evening footy, Newcastle v St George up at Hunter Stadium. Well, the Dragons have had some upheaval of their own throughout the week. I guess it's a holding pattern for their players. They still have both their buys coming off, so in all realism, you could probably start offloading them. The Knights are ninth in scoring and stopping. Despite looking average on the score, they're actually very up and down. Because they're at home, guys like Robbie Rocco, Cade Snowden, James McManus are plays. I think the Knights at home should win fairly comfortably. Pete, how do you see it going?
Well, the Dragons have an almightily good record up there in Newcastle for some reason. It's crazy. They get walloped or beaten in Canberra every year, but go to Newcastle and win every year. And you also have the thing of Wayne Bennett constantly beaten by the by coaches, his mentors, Anthony Griffin and Steve Price. Steve Price has got a 3-0 record against him. I've been defending Steve Price and saying he hasn't got much of a lineup to coach, but this disgraceful decision by dropping Jamie Soward and placing Chase Stanley in there, who was inept as a centre, and moving him to 5-8 is an appalling decision. We now don't have a long kicking game or a goal kicker. So it would only be my heart that says Dragons, but Newcastle should win this, and convincingly.
Tigers MS, do you agree?
Yeah, look, you'd pick the Knights at home, especially against the Dragons team that is a little bit fractured at the moment, obviously. Look, a guy who I think he did put up some good points, and he could be good if you just want a cheap guy to get into your team. Nathan Green.
He
scored some good points last time he was around. I think he's only played one game.
Yeah, he's 76 from one game.
So yeah, so far in memory. So I think he might be worth a gamble.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. The only danger is the Dragons have two buys coming up. If you can cover rounds 15 and 18, or if you've got the subs where you can buy him for this week and still get rid of him in time, I think he's going to put up big numbers. I think the Knights, you know, they're a decent team, but they still give up enough points that you can play Dragons players. And, you know, Josh Dugan, of course, is the big one, but as is Trent Merrin, if he's fit enough to get through the 80 minutes that he usually plays. But Nathan Green for mine is the sleeper in that one. Cowboys and the Bulldogs, well, the poor old Cowboys. They're on a severe downswing right now. They've got no Matt Bowen. I dare say Jonathan Thurston will be in doubt. Could get a whole lot worse on Saturday night. Bulldogs players are buys right now, especially James Graham, as we've said for the last couple of weeks. Mitch Brown continues to be a sleeper. Tim LaFay, he had another big round last week and is a home run hitter when he gets going, which could well be this week again. Aiden Tolman, he's been more consistent of late, so still a hold if you've got him from earlier in the year. While Tarek Sims might be a sell now, the Cows are really struggling. And he doesn't have a lot of chance of getting even considered for Origin because of the way that the Blues played. So maybe some of the motivation might be gone there for Tarek Sims. Tigers MS, any other names you can see there?
Well, I don't know. The Cowboys, I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're going terribly. And you can see it by the fact that I know they had some players playing Origin, but they have eight players named on the bench. So obviously there's a little bit of pressure being placed on the top squad by Neil Henry. He has to do something. Mm-hmm. The Bulldogs, yeah, pack up your team with their back line and a couple of their forwards and you'll go fine.
Pete, how do you see it going?
Cowboys very disappointing for mine. They've got to resort to putting Thurston back at halfback. I think he's a better halfback than his 5'8". That can't seem to get a combo there at all. For the Bulldogs, they, I thought, ran the average in beating the Dragons last Friday night, really, to be quite honest. And they were nearly beaten. They still may be missing Josh Morris from Origin. We're not really sure on that one yet, but, yeah, I think the Bulldogs will do enough to win. I don't think they'll flog them, but, I've seen them win by about 10 to 12 points on the back of a pretty decent forward pack and bit, and Trent Hodkinson at halfback. And Romello played quite well last week.
Yeah, I agree. The Dogs will win. Josh Morris wasn't named. Neither, of course, is Reynolds, but you would think... they'd both play. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. Especially Josh Reynolds. Sunday footy. Penrith v the Tigers. Panthers have been the surprise packet this year. Isaac John's the buy of the week against the second worst team for giving up Supercoach points. And Supercoach leader Robbie Farrell, well, he's out. So it gets a lot harder for the hapless Tigers. Suaso Sue continues to put up solid numbers, but realistically only Arid Woods is not a sell at this point. I can't go. I'd love to go the Tigers. They had a good win the other week, but I've got to go the Panthers. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, agreed. The Penrith, I don't know what Ivan Cleary and Supercoach Gould have done out there, but there's some steel has appeared in their defence in the last 6 weeks, 4 weeks or so, and yeah, they've been dynamite. I was quite impressed by the West Tigers win against the Cowboys. That showed a real lot of grit, that win. But this is going to be a different thing altogether out of Penrith, and I'd expect Penrith to win that. Just playing the more consistent football, and don't forget, guys, the much more stable lineup too. Haven't had the injury problems that Pearl Pigs have had, and without Robbie, yeah, you can't see him doing it.
Tigers MS, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, Panthers will probably lap them with no Farrah. It'll be very difficult. Someone's going to have to pull something out of the bag for the Tigers for them to get close. Panthers, Moylan, Robinson, Brown, Simmons, Isaac John, James Degiaro. Yeah.
They're Nigel all Plum.
Scorers, and they are all primed, and they've been very good over the past couple of weeks. And, you can't see anything but a Penrith landslide here, so you'd imagine if you have some Panthers players in your teams, you'd make sure they're playing.
The other Sunday afternoon game is the Warriors and Eagles over in New Zealand. The Manly actually have a pretty good record over there, and the Warriors hit some form last week. Kevin Locke was a top performer. He's a buy again this week. especially considering that Warriors are home. But remember, the Eagles are the second hardest to score off as far as Supercoach is concerned. Stay away from those high-risk, high-reward players. The Warriors seem to have so many of Conrad Harrell, Valedi Matea, Sean Johnson. Could be a lot tougher for them this week. The Warriors also have two buys coming up. So if you've got a bunch of New Zealand players, might be a good time to start selling them off. As the Warriors are the fourth easiest to score off, Manly look pretty good. Brenton Lawrence continues to be a buy. The other Manly players are probably the holds or sells. They do have another bye week in round 15 coming up. Tigers MS, any other names that you see there for the Seagulls that are worth playing this week?
Seagulls, well, I mean, it all depends on if you've got scope to get them out of your team for the bye week coming up. But Tafua, obviously.
Justin him, Horro, I guess.
Yeah, him and Lyon are always good point scorers, especially with Jamie Lyon being kicker. Brent Lawrence, as you mentioned before. The one guy I would like to mention for the Warriors, who is relatively consistent, and I say relatively from a point of view of being a Warriors player, is Elijah Taylor.
Right.
Who has been putting up around 40-plus points a week, and he scored 80 last week.
Yeah, look, Simon Mannering is my the lone consistent guy that I would also have to put in there. As a guy who can play as a centre and winger, he can balance some of those hot and cold centre and wingers we seem to see quite regularly in the competition. He's pretty good for 40 or 50 minimum each week. Pete, Tigers MS, which way are you going to go, Manly or the Warriors?
Manly.
I'm thinking I'll also have to go Manly in a tight one. Pete, what about you?
The Warriors are interesting teams, I've said before. I know it was against a very understrength Broncos on Monday night, but to go there to Brisbane and still win by the massive margin they did is still a great effort. This team, mark my words, I reckon they can make the eight, the Warriors, if they can show a little bit more consistency. They have the potential and the talent without a doubt. And I'm going to tip them to beat the Brett Stewart-less Manly Seagulls. I think they lose a lot when he's not there. I'll be interested also to see whether Watmo plays for Manly. It's hard to tip through the origin period for those reasons. But, I'm going to take the Warriors in a close one.
Oh, we had a dissension in the ranks finally. We've been unusually consistent this week, i.e. picking the same teams to win. Could get a bit tougher down in Melbourne. The Sharks heading down there to face the Storm. It will be a tough encounter. Look, watch for Origin players being late withdrawals as far as Supercoach is concerned. We have heard that Paul Gallen has taken the guilty plea, so he's out. Tohu Harris is back to the bench with Ryan Hinchcliffe back for Melbourne and Kevin Proctor being named in the starting lineup. But with Ryan Hoffman coming from Origin, he may end up being rested. The big names in Cronk, Slater and Smith, look, they may be fired up after that poor result for Queensland, so they may do well, but, I mean, in all seriousness, if you don't have them, don't buy them until the Origin series is over. We just don't know what's going to happen. Will Chambers could be a buy over the next few weeks, although Sharks generally are hard for centre and wingers to score off. If you kept Andrew Fifita, it should be safe to play him. I'm not so sure about Michael Gordon. He'd still be a sell until we know if he is fully fit. Those late games with the ins and outs can really cause huge havoc for your super coach, Tigers MS. If you've got one or two guys you're resting on that end up getting pulling out with injury and you've got no one to
play. Yeah, definitely. It's nailed me a couple of times this season already. Look, I think the Sharks will do the job here. They tend to like a physical game against Melbourne.
Yeah.
They really do. And, look, I think with Gallen out, Tagatese will go into the front row. Fifita will go to the bench. And Tyrone Peachey will come into the team or Bakuyi will start and he'll come on the bench. I think... for Fifita, keep him playing. As you were saying with Michael Gordon, it's touch and go. If you want to have gamble and you've got no other choice, I reckon he's a calculated risk.
With a two-week break, I guess he should be okay to go. I'm going to go the Storm. So, Pete, can you break the tie?
I remember this match last year. It was one of the 2012 last-minute specials where Melbourne just got up and beat Cronulla in the very last minute of a match in Melbourne. If Gallen was playing, I would be really tossing it up, but I think just without Gallen, I think I will miss a bit. There is some depth there, though, off the bench for Cronulla.
Yeah, the way Fafita's been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very close match. I would just tip Melbourne, but not with any great deal of confidence.
They have been missing Paul Gallen, and they haven't been missing him because they've been winning every week since he's been out, believe it
that
or not.
That is true. And they get some great players off the bench like Tupu, Bakuya, and Chris Hollington as well. So.
Yeah, since Todd Carney's come back, they've certainly looked a lot better. And Monday night footy, Raiders v the Broncos. The Raiders, well, they're playing against the second worst Supercoach team as far as giving up points, and they are at home, pretty much play all players at your disposal. Terry Campese may be a big time buy at this time of year, and Sean Fensham, well, he should be one of your must buys over the Origin period now the Raiders have had their first buy and don't have another one to round 18. Pete, at home, Canberra, do the Broncos have any chance?
None. I know for a fact the Raiders got a great record down there against the Broncos over a long period of time. And look at the Canberra lineup, and it looks, particularly through the back line there, just a bit speedier and a bit classier than the Broncos. That I would suggest they'll try everything in their power to get Hodges and particularly Thaiday into that team. We'd be interested to see the last minute replacements, but no, I just think Canberra down there on Monday night in June. I think the Raiders are absolute specials.
Blake Ferguson should be pretty fired up, Tigers MS, after the big win.
Yeah, I can only agree with Pete there. Raiders probably very good at home. It's going to be about 1 degree on Monday night. It's possibly going to be rainy and windy, so it's not going to be conducive to the Brisbane players. Brisbane were terrible against the Warriors. I don't think you can blame the Origin players missing for a performance like that. I mean, you can get beat, but you can't get smashed, and they were totally outplayed and out-enthused. I think the Raiders will be keen to keep up their good record against the Bronx down there. As for players, definitely Blake Ferguson, Whiten, and Bruce Robinson, I think are your keys for the Raiders.
Look, I can only agree with you there. I really think as well, Josh Maguire for Brisbane, surely he's got a lot to play for over the next couple of weeks. An Origin spot beckons if he can put up some big games. Maybe he could surprise there, but I also agree, can see nothing but a Raiders victory. And that pretty much covers up all the games. Of course, if you do play Supercoach, you really should listen to all our tips. Go online, www.pullygsports.com. Go on our Facebook page, give us a like, follow us on Twitter at PullyGSports or at TigersMS78. We give you that inside information, the lowdown that you just cannot get literally anywhere with our in-depth stats and analysis. And we do it each and every week here at NRL Live. And you can subscribe on the iTunes, of course, just simply type in NRL Live or NRL Supercoach to find us. Okay. One of the fun things we do, if you're a first-time listener, is World of Sport. A bit of a light-hearted look at the week that was from a sporting perspective. Tigers MS, what have you got for us this week?
Oh, okay. Look, it's short but sweet, but it's bizarre as well. Basically, it's just come out of the college recruiting phase for the NFL. And also, the colleges are now trying to entice their players from the schools to play for them. And they've come up with some pretty outlandish promises, let's say. And this one I found out was the best. Basically, it comes... the guy's name is Deshaun Hand. And he's one of the top defensive ends. And, you know, he's being scouted by pretty much, you know, every college over there. He said during an interview this weekend, he was asked what was the craziest thing that happened to him since he's been named, the USA's number one recruit. He said, well, I'm not going to say the name of the college, but one coach told me that since I was the number one player that I was going to get to meet Michael Jackson. I said, isn't he already dead? And the coach goes, well, okay, but you can make Tito then. That's it.
Oh, dear.
That's it. So, yeah, what I want to see is I want to see some NRL coaches promise the same kind of thing to players. I want to see, you know, maybe Wayne Bennett promising the next up and comer at Newcastle that he can meet Daily Messenger or something like that.
There's a door wide open there, and I don't want to go through it. Tigers MS, Michael Jackson, and I guess young boys can be. I just don't want to go there. But you left that door wide open with the high school recruits. Well done.
Yeah, imagine going from Marco there. Oh, wait, you can meet Tito. It's like saying you might be able to meet Janet Jackson. Wait, here's LaToya.
Well done. Well done. I can't top it. I'm speechless. Well, guys, we're going to do it all again next week, of course. Tough round of games to pick. Pete, you're still in front. We all got 3 out of 4 last week. See how it goes. And Pete, we will see you, of course, next week.
You indeed, gentlemen. Have a great week.
You too, Tigers and Mess. All the best. Thanks again.
You will, yes.
And remember, you can download us at www.paulogsports.com or on the iTunes. It is NRL Live Supercoach. And we'll be back again next week. And no promises that if you do listen, we'll get to meet famous people like Michael Jackson or Elvis Presley that have long since passed on.